بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا صدق الله العظيم Inshallah tonight with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will discuss Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an is amongst those sahaba who are very fortunate that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in one gathering, in one majlis mentioned these people are of Jannat. Abu Bakr in fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas fil Jannah, Abu Ubaida ibn Jarrah fil Jannah, Sa'id bin Zayd fil Jannah. These were the Sahaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one sitting, one gathering, that these 10 are from Jannat. Like that we know all the Sahaba are Jannatis. But what is special about these, that in one sitting, Rasulullah has mentioned all these names, that they will be in Jannah. From amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala wa jama'een, these are the highest of all the Sahaba. So the Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala is that Sahabi also that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned, Fidaka Abi wa Ummi. May my parents be sacrificed for your sake, O Sa'd. Imagine Rasulullah saying that he is prepared to sacrifice his own parents for the sake of Sa'd. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with some Sahaba, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala, also there. There were six Sahaba, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. They were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were supplicating. They were making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Engrossed in dhikr, dua. Morning and evening, this was the practice. Begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While they were seated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the disbelievers come. And they say, Ya Muhammad, utrud ha'ula. Chase these people away. These downtrodden, poor people, weak. How can we sit with them? These people are slaves. If you want to discuss with us, and you want to preach anything to us, then we must be sitting alone with you. And these people, you must cast them aside, chase them away. Before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could even contemplate what these people had presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the thoughts were still just beginning to come into the mind, not to really chase the Sahaba, he loved the Sahaba. But his mission, his objective was to spread the deen of Islam. So perhaps for a little while, I could send the Sahaba off, whilst I could speak to these leaders of the Quraysh, and perhaps they embrace Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before Rasul could make any decision or even the thoughts to really go through his mind properly, Allah says, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not chase away these sahaba who are supplicating, calling the Allah morning and evening, يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worry about the disbelievers who want these people to be chased away. These are great people. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala was amongst these who was Sahaba who was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, this is the period of Makkah. Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala, he was amongst the very beginners who accepted Islam, the very first few people who had embraced Islam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala, and Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu, Usman radiallahu ta'ala, and Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala. Although in some riwayat it mentioned, Ana thulusul Islam, I am the third person to accept Islam, and this was after Abu Bakr Ali, Uthman, and Zayd radiallahu anhum. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala, he is embracing Islam. A very interesting incident where he sees a dream, and in the dream he sees this darkness. All around him is only darkness. Suddenly he sees the moon and brightening up everything around him. And he could see in front now. In front of him he sees Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and Zayd radiallahu ta'ala in front of him. And this light had already illuminated these Sahaba in front of him. He wakes up in the morning. It's a very strange dream. Somebody, Sayyidina Abu Bakr or Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, tell him about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He meets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the valley. He says, Ila ma tad'u? What are you inviting towards? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him da'wah toward Islam. Oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kalima, the shahadat, everything is explained to him. Immediately he embraces Islam. So this was the dream, the light of Iman and Noor. But when he embraces Islam, his mother was very fond of him and he was very close to her. He would always serve his mother, very obedient to his mother. When she hears of him having embraced the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam, she becomes angry. She takes an oath, I will not eat until you renounce Islam. Now Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, this is the test. On one side, his mother, he loves her very dearly. On the other side now, Islam, Iman. Sahabi, the moment he embraced Islam, they say Iman would permeate into the deep recesses of his heart. And he would accept Islam in total. So he loves Islam, believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he believes that he is the final messenger. What does he do now? He goes to his mother, persuades her, please eat, otherwise you are going to die. Other family members become upset with him. See what you are causing and how much taklif you are giving to your mother. He goes to her, he tries to persuade her, please eat. She refuses. She closes her mouth when they try to force feed her. She says, I will never eat. Few days go by like this. She's becoming weaker now. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu tells his mother, oh my mother, even if I have 100 lives, then too I will never renounce Islam. So kuli in shi'ti. If you should rather eat, partake of the meals. If you starve and you die also, I will not leave Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse of the Quran. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ Allah says that we have ordained that children should be kind to their parents. But if they compel the child towards shirk, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِهِ Then the child is not obligated, is not obliged. In fact, then he should not follow the commands of his parent. When it comes to Sharia, there is no compromise in Sharia. You have to look after your parents. Islam exhorts us to be extremely kind to our parents, extremely obedient to our parents. After Allah commands us to believe in Allah, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدِينِ إِحْسَانًا Allah says in one verse that Allah has ordained you to obey and worship Allah, and immediately in the same verse Allah says, and be kind to your parents. We have heard the story of Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, we discussed here, where she is in Medina and her mother comes. Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and this wife of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, at that time had not embraced Islam. She had come to visit Asma, وَهِيَ mushrika, she was a mushrika. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha goes to Rasulullah said, what must I do? Must I go and join ties with her? My mother has come. Nabiya Kareem said, Naam Suliha, go and see her, be kind to her. So even though that they are disbelievers, Then too, Sharia tells us to serve them, look after them, feed them, be kind, polite, courteous. But if the parents, be they mushrik or believers or Muslims, if they command the child to do something haram, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to any makhluq of Allah if Allah is going to be disobeyed. By you following the injunction of that makhluq, be it your parents or your ustad, whoever, if you are going to obey him, in obeying that parent of yours, you are going to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah says you should not obey that makhluq. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah revealed this verse regarding Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala. In other words, saying exactly what he has done is correct, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality praises Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala. Sahaba are sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and suddenly he says, يَطْلُعُ عَلَيْكُمْ الْآنْ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Just now a person who is from amongst the people of Jannah, he is going to go past you now. Obviously Sahaba were curious, who is this person? Suddenly they see Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu going past. He had just made wudu, the water of the wudu on his beard, streaming down his face. He's got his shoes on his shoulder. He's going past, and he proceeds. One sahabi is very curious. Must be some quality of his we don't possess. Some type of ibadah this he is making. I need to see what type of ibadah tahajjud he must be making at night. Some extra dhikr or tilawat. There must be some type of ibadah he is making. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam suddenly has mentioned that the person of Jannah will go by now. So one sahabi makes an excuse. And he says, I've got some problem with my father at home. If you don't mind, can I spend some time with you a few days? He says, no problem. This sahabi, he's observing at night the ibadat of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, expecting him to be engaged in tahajjud whole night. He says, nothing like that. In fact, for the few days he was there, all he observes is Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu not even getting up. But when he turns from one side to the other, he makes some zikr of Allah, praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's all. And he wakes up for Fajr. So after 3 days, he says, something is wrong. He has no extra ibadat, in fact. What high hopes I had that I would see, I can't see anything of that sort. He goes up to him after 3 days. Sa'd, the truth of the matter is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you are from Jannah. I wanted to see extra tahajjud in your life. I couldn't see anything like that. Tell me, what is it? He said, no, nothing. This is my life. There's nothing else extra about me. غيرا, except maybe, أني لا أجد في نفسي غشا لأحد من المسلمين ولا أحسد أحدا. He says, just maybe this one or two qualities. I don't harbor malice in my heart for any Muslim brother or sister. Nor do I have jealousy for any person. These two traits are extremely, extremely detrimental to every person, especially the salikin who are wanting to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talk about tasawwuf, we talk about bay'ah, we talk about cleansing our hearts. But these two qualities, mashayikh, ulama, Allah protect us, Allah protect me first. We have these weaknesses in us. We have malice. We have jealousy. We cannot see the other person prospering. Somebody has two shops. Something burns in our heart. We cannot see so many customers frequenting his shop. Somebody has some post. We cannot bear it. Hasad, we had mentioned in detail in the tafsir of Surah Yusuf. We had explained hasad, explained the remedy, the ilaj of hasad. Malice, same thing. When the heart begins to burn, there is this filth that comes in the heart. We cannot see any good in the other person. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala, famous incident which we will repeat till Qiyamah inshallah. What shall we are living? He says, Rasulullah said, Ya Anas, Ya Bunayya, sorry, Ya Bunayya, oh my beloved son, oh child, listen, In qadarta an tusbiha, wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin faf'al. If it's possible, in fact, you should do this every morning and evening, you should be in that condition that you don't have any malice in your heart for any person. Shaitan, nafs will prompt us. Why is that person getting all the accolades? Why is he getting all the praise? How come he's got that position? Why has she got that position? How come she is in charge? We are not realizing what we are doing to our amal. Tawbah, istighfar. We have this thing crossing our hearts. Immediately turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at our reality. What are we? What is our worth? What is our reality? So Anas radiallahu anhu is told by Rasulullah SAW every morning and evening, don't harbor any malice for any person. Your heart must be clean. You come for Fajr Salat, few minutes before the Jamaat, ponder, muraqabah, reflect, what is the condition of my heart? Have I harbored any malice? Am I jealous of any person? Check ourselves. This introspection we have to do all the time, because it keeps on coming. Today we are jealous of one person, then we sort that out, tomorrow somebody else, we have malice for this one, malice for that one. So all the time, this is in essence the effort of our mashayikh in tazkiyah, khanqas, tasawuf, all the time, to make sure we don't have these filthy diseases in our heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We have many people going around and cause fitna. The other person is sitting innocently, he doesn't know anything. But we have those tendencies in our heart to always go and cause fitna, to see mischief. Allah hates people who cause mischief. We don't understand what nuqsan we're doing to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What nuqsan we're doing to our iman. How much of conflict we are creating amongst people in society. Instead of becoming assets to deen, we are destroying this beautiful deen. If you can't do any khidmat for deen, then keep quiet, remain silent and do your own work. Protect people from your shar. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu is told, وَذَلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِي. We talk about sunnah, 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 sunnah. This is my sunnah. This is my way of life. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي. If you really love my sunnah, you really love me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. If you love me, you'll be with me in Jannah. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu says, these are the two qualities. I don't have malice in my heart for any person, nor do I have jealousy. This sahabi, Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu says, definitely these are the two qualities because of which Rasulullah SAW said that you are from the people of Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen the valor, the bravery of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. In fact, in one battle, Rasulullah SAW said, Irmi, Ya Sa'd, Irmi. Shoot your arrow. That's when he said, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Then he makes a dua for Sa'd. Allahumma saddid sahma. Wallah, make his arrow reach its target. Mustn't go off. Must hit its target. Wa ajib da'watah. Wallah, accept all the du'as of Sa'd. Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala became mustajabu da'wat. Raises his hand. Any dua he makes, Allah answers his dua immediately. Even if he didn't raise his hand also. But if Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala made dua, because Allah had made him mustajabu da'wat, his du'as will be answered immediately. Respected brothers and elders and our mothers listening over the receiver. We do not know which people are mustajabu da'wat. There are many mashayikh, buzrugs, awliya of Allah who are hidden. They are not prominent figures. You can't even make out his condition, his ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet they are mustajabu da'wat. Many people. Sometimes, as we see, we press the wrong button. When we interfere with mashayikh ahlullah, and we hurt their feelings, and they're absolutely innocent, and we make them cry, and we falsely accuse them of things, then they say some things, and if it is a dua against you, then you are in serious problem. There were many people who made a dua, who falsely accused mashayikh, and because they were human beings, and they said something out of anger, immediately the dua had an effect. Something happened to this person, then finally he had to go and plead to him, please now, make dua, Allah, give me shifa, or whatever it is. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala, people go to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, people of Kufa. People of Kufa were known for keep on complaining. Anybody comes as a governor, they've got some complaints. They go to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, oh, Sa'd is not a good person. Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes there to Kufa. What's the matter? Innahu la yuhsinu salat. He doesn't read namaz properly. He doesn't perform salat properly. Sa'd, tell me, how do you perform salat? Umar radiallahu ta'ala is standing, asking him the question. He explained exactly how he performed the fard of Isha, for example. First two rakats he explained, then the second two rakats is how I read. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, this is exactly how Rasulullah taught us to make the salat. What's the problem in this? He sent a few people for asking about Sa'd. Everybody then praised him. In one gathering, he asked, any person got any complaint against Sa'd? This one person then stands up. Abu Usama. He says, yes. If you really want to know and you want us to really give you an answer, إِنَّهُ لَا يَعْدِرُ فِي الْقَضِيَّةِ وَلَا يُقْسِمُ فِي السَّرِيَّةِ. He says that Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala, whenever there's a matter that comes to him, then he doesn't give a verdict according to Quran and Hadith. He's not just. He's biased. Doesn't give a fair decision. And when we have spoils of war, وَلَا يَقْسِمُ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ وَلَا يَسِيرُ بِالسَّرِيَّةِ, then he doesn't give and distribute the booty equally. He gives some preference over others. So he is unfair, he's unjust. And whenever we have to be dispatched anywhere, is there some war, some jihad taking place, Sa'd, he never comes with us. Now all these were allegations. Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala looks at him. And what does he say? Allahumma in kana kadiban, if this person is a liar, fa'a'mi basarah. Ya Allah, if this person is a liar, then make him blind. وَأَطِلْ عُمْرَهُ, and make him live for a very long time in this world. وَعَرِّضْهُ لِلْفِتَنِ, and make him go through fitnas, trials, tribulations. This person, the dua falls on him. Much later on, he becomes so old. It is mentioned in the riwayat, his eyebrows are almost falling over his eyes now. So old. Could not even see. He became blind. So he should hold the wall. And whenever he could hear, or sense that there were some young girls, then he'll go and poke his finger. Poke them with his finger and interfere with them. How embarrassing. Old person like this, interfering with young girls. Somebody asked him, what's happening? He says, the dua of Sa'd has got me. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma ajib da'wata. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood the qualities of this sahabi, and then he said, this is my uncle. Others can show me their uncles. Come, show me your uncle. I can boast about my uncle to you. Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala was from the maternal uncles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not his mother's brother, but from his mother's ancestors, like how we have mother's cousin. So amongst his maternal lineage, from his maternal lineage, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu becomes the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in that way Rasulullah said that this is my uncle. Anybody else wants to show me their uncle, well and good. Come and show me. Show me what type of uncle do you have. From amongst the Ashara Mubashara, he was the last one to pass away. From amongst the Muhajirin, he was the last one to pass away. The first person to shoot an arrow in Islam was Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had dispatched an army. We have what is called Sariya and Ghazwa in Islam. Sariya is that army Rasulullah sends some Sahaba, but he himself did not participate, so that is called Sariya. And Ghazwa is that army that Rasulullah himself participates in, like Badr, Uhud, etc. Nabi Kareem Salam has sent the Sariya of Ubaidah ibn Harith, and this was in the first year of the Hijrah. And Sa'd radiallahu was the first person to shoot an arrow. Umar radiallahu ta'ala had chosen 6 people before he passed on, and he said, amongst you 6, you must take the next Amir. And in that committee of 6, the Ahlu Shura, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala was also chosen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, it was the battle that was taking place, the enemy, he expressed a desire. He said, how I wish somebody could guard me tonight. This also shows us the lesson of tawakkul, etc. Inshallah, some other time we'll discuss. Nabi Kareem just expresses this wish, this desire. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, we were still sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when suddenly we heard some sound of somebody pulling his armor, his weapons, his sword, his shield. Nabi Kareem asked, man hada, who is it? He said, Sa'd. Sa'd, what's it? What's the matter? He said, Ya Rasul, suddenly some fear came into my heart. I was afraid that you may not be attacked by some enemy, so I thought I'll come and guard you tonight. Nabi Kareem became very happy. He makes dua for Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala participated in the battles of Badr, Uhud with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Uhud, he says, I saw on the right of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on his left, 2 people dressed in white clothing. I had never seen them before, nor after. And they were guarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, these were angels who had come down. Then he says, regarding himself, he says, I could see an arrow being shot towards me. And before I could even defend myself, suddenly a person pushes it away and saves me. I had never seen that person before in my life. فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ مَلَكْ He says, I realized then that was an angel who had come down. Like this, there are many other interesting incidents and stories regarding Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, when he is once very sick. Rasulullah comes to him, and then Sa'd says, Ya Rasul, I've got a lot of wealth. Now I wish to give all this wealth of mine in charity. Make wasiyat of everything. Nabi says, no, you can't do that. You got family. He said, I've just got 1 daughter. So in fact, he said, okay, let me give half. Nabi says, no, half to you is too much. He said, okay, 1/3. Nabi says, okay, 1/3, it's okay. 1/3 wasiyat you can make. And then he advises Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala. And Sa'd said, I'm going to give all my wealth or half my wealth. He says, listen Sa'd, it is better that you leave something for your heirs. Better for you. You leave behind some money for your heirs, rather than them, after your demise, they stretch their hands and they beg from people. And they become in a very difficult condition. Better for them to be in that difficult condition that you then leave for them some money that will keep their head above the waters. Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala had made wasiyat for 1/3 of his wealth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu prophesied, he said, لَعَلَّكَ أَنْ تُؤَخْرَ Sa'd, you're not going to pass away now. Perhaps you're going to get a long life. And through you, one qawm will be destroyed. They will become dhaleel. And one nation will gain izzah through you. So there were enough battles that took place, Qadisiyah and so many other battles, where Sahaba had fought the enemy. Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala was amongst them. He was the leader. And through him, the enemy were defeated. So they lost through him. And they became zaleel through him. And the Muslims gained victory. through Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala. When he passed away in just out of Madina Munawwara. He had a huge home there. Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala, Allah had blessed him with plentiful of money. Allah had blessed him. So he had his own home just out of Madina. When he passed away, his body was brought before Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she sees this body of Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anha. She says, this is baqiyatu ashabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the very last few of the Sahaba who are living. And he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anha, according to most of the kitabs, or all the kitabs regarding him, is not buried in China. Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu from authentic kitabs, he is buried in Jannatul Baqi, passed away just out of Medina, and he had made wasiyat that jubba that he had worn in the Battle of Badr, that material must be used for his kafan. That must be used for his kafan. And he was buried in this way. Marwan had performed his janazah salah. And this one or two wives of Rasulullah who were still living, they were also present. And this is how Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala leave this world. But these sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in left in the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them. There's so many other incidents, inshallah, if Allah give us tawfiq some other time. Otherwise, pick up the books of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are plenty available, but make sure they are authentic. Hayatul Sahaba is one authentic kitab. We can read about different Sahaba ikram. Inshallah, this will increase our knowledge about Sahaba, our love for Sahaba, our love for Deen, inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. In our tafsir of Surah Maryam, inshallah, we won't take very long. We were had discussed last week about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a pledge that every single person has to cross Pul Sirat. We gave the description of Pul Sirat and how the believers will cross Pul Sirat. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, how he cried when he read that ayat. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ هُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَثَاثًا وَرِئْيًا. We had mentioned this last week, where Allah Ta'ala says, so many people before them, before the Quraysh of Makkah, so many other people before these Quraysh of Makkah, we had destroyed. هُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَثَاثًا وَرِئْيًا. Who had more wealth, and they were more, and they had surpassed them even in richness and in splendor. Allah had given those people plentiful. So it's not the wealth a person possesses that gives him some speciality in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is a disbeliever, person is arrogant, disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his wealth will not avail him. Allah says, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الضَّلَالَةِ فَلْيَمْدُدْ لَهُ الرَّحْمَانُ مَدَّا حَتَّى إِذَا رَأُوا مَا يُعَدُونَ إِمَّا الْعَذَابُ وَإِمَّا السَّاعَةُ. These disbelievers would believe, and they would make these claims against the Sahaba. You are poor people. What do you possess? In dunya, Allah has blessed us so much. And Allah has given us plentiful. And look at our might and our strength. And look at our properties. So this means that we are honored in His sight. And we are better than you people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's norm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person. And even though he is disobedient. And he does not take heed to the signs and warnings. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him rope. Allah gives him respite. Allah gives him to enjoy those bounties regarding which he is boasting and showing arrogance about, and he feels that he is more superior. This in fact becomes the prelude of his destruction. So he is busy enjoying his ni'mat and thinking that Allah has bestowed me and I am very great and nothing is going to happen to me. Suddenly what he sees? either azab comes to him in this world, one hurricane, one tsunami, one volcano, and so suddenly his property is burned, or some disaster comes to him, everything is ruined. Or sa'a qiyamah. On the day of qiyamah, everything will come to an end, and then he will see his real worth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rasulullah says, قُلْ أُمُحَمَّدُ say, as for man kana fi dhalala, whoever was in deviation, فَلْيَمْدُدْ لَهُ الرَّحْمَانُ مَدَّ then let Rahman, the merciful, give him respite. Give him more chance. حَتَّى إِذَا رَأُوا until when they will see مَا يُعَدُونَ what they were being promised, إِمَّا الْعَذَابُ وَإِمَّا السَّاعَةُ either punishment or either qiyamah. فَسَيَعْلَمُونَ then they will know. Now that knowledge will be a reality in front of them. مَنْ هُوَ شَرٌّ مَكَانَ وَأَضْعَفُ جُنْدًا who is worse in position. They used to say, you Muslims, you are nothing. We have got a better, we are in a more loftier position than you are. وَأَضْعَفُ جُنْدًا your army, you are so weak. You have no might, no strength. We are more powerful. Allah says, we will see now. On the day of Qiyamah, they will see. So this is a warning. So when Allah tightens the noose around the person, إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ Allah's grip is very severe. There are many other verses where Allah says, as they were enjoying the bounties of Allah, suddenly we gripped them. They were caught unaware. Unaware. Didn't expect it to happen. What happens to the believer? Allah says, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْ هُدَى the believer, those who are good, those who got hidayat, Allah grants them more hidayat. The road becomes more and more clearer for them every day. The road towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The iman increases. They get more tawfiq of doing good a'mal. They enjoy peace, tranquility, serenity. Allah says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ مَرَدًّا بَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ those a'mal, those good deeds, which are lasting. This is the tafsir of بَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ many tasbihat have been mentioned after salat, really this tasbih. Some mufassirin majority say baqiyat salihat are all good deeds and good deeds done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are lasting, baqiyat. They are better for you. In the eyes of Allah, they are better for you. In compensation, in thawab, in reward, wa khayrun maradda, and they yield better returns. So the good deeds you are doing, you will see far greater blessings in the hereafter. Then the dunyawi blessings the person will see. As bin Wa'il, he was a mushrik. Khabbab ibn Arat radiallahu anhu comes to him. And As bin Wa'il had to pay him his salary. Or he owed him some money. Khabbab radiallahu anhu, the sahabi, he says, As bin Wa'il, I want my money. He says, no, you have embraced Islam. So I want you now to reject Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reject his deen, then only then I will pay your due. He says, I will never do so. I will never reject his deen. Until you die and you are resurrected. In other words, it must happen to you now. If that happens to you, then I can contemplate. In other words, he's saying, it's impossible. Impossible. Nobody's going to die now and be raised before you again. So I will never leave or forsake Islam. But I want my due. As bin Wa'il refused. He says, I will give you a due in the hereafter which you claim there is a hereafter. I don't believe in a hereafter. And when we will be raised according to you, and if there's a resurrection, then I'll pay your due, then you can come to me. So regarding him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this. And Allah said, أَفَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا he used to say, Allah said regarding him, have you seen the one who rejected our signs? And what did he say? لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا I've got plentiful of wealth. I've got many children. I've got a lot of offspring. He thought that this was a sign of his success. أَطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبِ Allah says, has he peeked into the unseen? He's got some special knowledge of the unseen, where he's recorded somewhere that he's more superior and he's successful. أَمِتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَانِ عَهْدًا Or has he taken a pledge from Allah. Allah has promised him. Some special covenant Allah has given him. That don't worry, you'll be successful. Kalla, Allah says, impossible, never, nay. Something a person should refrain from, making such statements. Sanaktubu ma yaqul. Allah says, we are recording all his blasphemous statements, his utter lies, the claims he's making. Wa namuddu lahu min al-'adhabi madda. Allah says, we will lengthen his punishment. We'll punish him very severely. Wa narithu ma yaqul. He says, he's got wealth, he's got children, he's got property, he's got treasures. He will be destroyed. All those things Allah says comes back to us. We become the inheritors of everything. وَيَأْتِينَا فَرْدًا The day of Qiyamah, each person will come to us individually, alone, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No family to avail him. No money to help him. All his treasures, gold, coins, everything, nothing will come to his assistance. A person standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانٍ There is no interpreter between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah says, أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى This is standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which all of us should fear and go against our nafs and desires. Allah says, then this is Jannat is such a person's abode. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لِيَكُونُ لَهُمْ عِزَّةً كَلَّا سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضِدَّةً Allah says, these people, they have taken gods as friends besides Allah. He thought these idols and the other gods that they used to worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist them. Allah says, لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّةً So that perhaps these gods and these deities may be some source of help to them and give them some honor and respect. Kalla, impossible, never. Sayakfuruna bi'ibadatihim. On the day of Qiyamah, these same deities that they worship in this world will reject their worshipping. You see, we don't ask them to worship us. Wayakununa alayhim ridda. Allah says, these things will actually be the opponents on the day of Qiyamah. The same things they worship besides Allah, these things will speak against them. We know the famous incident in the Quran, Allah talks about shaitan. What does shaitan say? Don't blame me, now blame yourself. Lumu anfusakum. I can't help myself, I can't help you. I didn't hold a gun to your head. That was, I didn't force you. I didn't force you. I just showed you a few things. Incited you. I didn't force you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah help us to cleanse ourselves, purify our hearts. May Allah give us hidayat, may Allah give us tawfiq, understanding of Quran and hadith. Help us to implement these teachings in our life and make us have the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah help us to protect our zuban from making ta'ana and slandering people and finding faults in people. We rather look at our own faults. We don't know when maut will come. We have to face qabr, munkar and nakir. Kiraman Katibin writing everything. We will have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's leave this world in such a way that we leave some benefit for people. And people can benefit from us long even after we pass away. Instead of causing taklif to people, inciting problems, causing disunity, harming the neighbors and friends and family members. So many people have broken off relationships. Why? Because somebody had caused some unnecessary taklif. We are Muslims, we are believers. May Allah help us to purify our hearts. Otherwise we will hear bayans and bayans and bayans. And remember, wallah, I swear by Allah, I am addressing myself. Alhamdulillah, you are the pious ones. We have been put into this place. We are battling and the seas are so rough. May Allah take us to the shores and make us reach our destination quickly with ease, in such a way that Allah is pleased with us. Allah Ta'ala must be pleased with us. Allah must bless us with ikhlas, sincerity. May Allah protect us from all shurur and fitan. May Allah protect our youth, our wives, our parents, our children, the entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many others were in hospital and sick, and he requested duas, the young babies, children also, many adults also who are in hospital and undergone some operation. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala to give each one shifa-i kamil. May Allah give us hidayat and tawfiq of doing al-baqiyat al-salihat. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.